protein, which are bad for you, that happens. And is that protein is just like protein is just like if it's an exon, usually it's like protein. Think about it in the case of like certain phages or single stranded phages, right? So if what I was telling you happens all the time, then the single stranded DNA phage is going to want to have paraffin forming all the time in its DNA, because it's going to need to be able to replicate the DNA and its etc. So generally, that DNA is covered with single stranded binding protein, which will prevent the DNA from forming the secondary structures by forming these homologous regions, making these blood DNA loops. It'd be a mess.
One initial question. From all the things you didn't cover, are they still important?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why they're in the introduction.
All right.
So the whole idea was to make sure that you guys were familiar with that material and were comfortable with it, because from there, we'll be moving forward. So all that stuff is going to be the basis that you would have learned in genetics courses or biochemistry at some point along the line. And it should serve as a refresher for you so that we can add it into more advanced topics.
Okay. So going back to XGAL, I basically missed it. I know I asked, but I still couldn't write that fast.
Okay, we'll talk about that in class, not Thursday, but probably next week. It's basically a substrate for an enzyme, beta-galactosidase. And the substrate, the XGAL, is colorless. When the enzyme cleaves it, it releases a color.
Okay.
So that's why it's very useful as an indicator. So you can incorporate that into bacteriological medium and look for the production or not production of the enzyme, beta-galactosidase, just by looking at the color of the colony. Because the substrate itself is colorless, but the bacteria making the enzyme, they'll cleave the substrate, release the color, the colony becomes blue.
Okay. Let's see. And a phenotype is what we see. Gene regulation dictates what we see phenotypically speaking.
Yeah, among other things, is one of the major reasons why phenotype doesn't equal genotype.
Okay. On the slide where you gave us amber mutations, TS temperature sensitive, CS cold sensitive, I think I missed two of them.
That's important. That was just to give you an idea of some of the other abbreviations that you may see.
Oh.
Things like the delta for deletion, the double colon for insertion. We'll be using those as well.
Okay. What did Giacomino discover?
ICOP1, negative regulation.
I wrote question marks into here, so I'm just scrolling through. Okay. So, Western blotting is the protein is, I mean, the probe is protein based?
Probe is the antibody to the protein, so it recognizes the protein.
So it recognizes what again?
Antibody.
Antibody.
Antigen. Antibody recognizes the protein in the gel.
Rho goes in coils, and the polymerase falls off, or am I?
When Rho binds to the what site?
To the what site?
To the what site.
R-U-T?
R-U-T.
Okay.
Yeah. If you look at that figure, it actually explains it pretty well. So Rho binds, recognizes the what site, and then it winds the RNA, and that destabilizes the RNA polymerase, so the RNA polymerase falls off and transcription terminates.
Okay. All right. for the problem you assigned us, did you mean like D versus L?
D versus L.
The problem was, can we make a mutant that does not make formal group and this bacteria survives? So could it be D versus L? Like the G version versus the L version?
For the S-mark form?
Yeah.
No.
No, not like that.
I see.
So it's completely gone, not in a different form.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Wait. So an ORF is an open reading frame, which means there's no stop codon in it.
There is a stop codon. It's at the end.
Okay.
It has to be a stop codon. Right?
Okay. Sequence from start to stop that codes for a gene.
That codes for a product.
Product.
Protein product.
You were saying ATG as opposed to AUG?
Yeah.
That's meaning the formal group, right?
Well, no, the ATG is going to be found in...
I don't know. I wouldn't be asking. Well, yes.
Right.
But
so where would the AUG be found?
On the RNA? Huh? Oh. Oh.
So if you're looking at the open reading frame and defining it by DNA, then you're looking at the ATG as your start. If you're defining it on a message, then it would be the AUG.
Was there anything else very important about the ORF other than that has stop and start and sequence in between, like stops at carboxy terminal ends?
Well, the carboxy terminal end is going to be your stop codon, right? It's going to be your stop codon. That's the C terminal end, by definition.
C terminal end.
Proteins. You know what proteins are, right?
Yes.
They have a N terminal end and a C terminal end.
N terminal and C terminal.
Right? Okay.
I guess so.
Okay, what you need to do is go back in an egg biochemistry textbook and look at, and you'll probably find in the first two chapters of this book, how are proteins synthesized from a message. And it'll show you that, a couple of good figures in this book shows you the movement of the messenger RNA through ribosomes, the arrival of the tRNAs, and the transfer of the tRNA, the charged amino acids on the tRNAs to the growing polypeptide.
Mm-hmm.
And the orientation of the amino acids in the growing polypeptide, which defines the ends of the polypeptide. N terminal, C terminal. Okay? It's just a refresher of what you learned in biochemistry and what we talked about in MedMed, the protein translation.
Okay.
Okay?
So N and C.
N and C.
Yeah. That's it. I ran out of questions.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good. Yes.